ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नाहं प्रकाश सर्वस्य योगमाया समावृतः, मूढ़ोऽयं नाभिजानाति, लोको मामजमव्ययम्। I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. Text number 26. I'll just speak this because it's not written on the verse, on this board here. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna, bhavishyani cha bhutani mam tu vedana kaschana. Translation: O Arjun, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities, but me, no one knows. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adigaur Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So today we have very interesting verses here in front of us for discussion. This chapter is titled Knowledge of the Absolute. So any person who reads this, who comes here, should understand that this chapter is going to give us knowledge about the Supreme Lord. Now interestingly, today's verse, Krishna says, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya. He says, I am not known. People cannot know me, or I am not illuminated. Prakasha, you can't see me clearly, you can't understand me clearly, if you are foolish and if you are unintelligent. So when that chapter title says that in this chapter you are going to get information about Krishna, or somehow in this verse, the information that you get is, if you are such and such person, you won't get any information. So this is something that adds to our information about Krishna, that there are certain things that are necessary for us to understand him. We may know him. We may know there is a personality called Krishna. But do we know him completely? Do we know him as he is? Like, I can see you here sitting, and there are some other people also sitting here. So one thing I know for sure, you know, you belong to this country, that's for sure. You are an Indian. Looking at you, I can understand that you have come from your office. You are a working person. You don't look that young that you are coming here from a college. However, I don't know so many things about you. I don't know your name. I don't know your mother tongue. So many things about you I don't know. And sitting here, not knowing you, I could go on thinking, or I could go on speculating. Probably you are from Bombay itself, or probably you are from Pune, probably you are from that city, probably from that city. It can go on. But here in this chapter, Krishna is revealing himself. He is giving you knowledge about himself. So as I was saying, certainly people in India, they know there was one person called Krishna, stayed near Mathura. very beautiful looking. Some people think of him as a politician, that he was a good politician. Some people think of him as a very smart talker. He's very smart at talking, very smart at cheating also. In his childhood days, he used to do a lot of cheating business with the gopis, with his mother, especially while stealing butter and all. So these are different facets of his personality. These are different aspects of his personality. But in this chapter, Krishna is saying that I can tell you much more about myself. And one aspect of that is giving you conditions based on which you can know me. I'll give you an example about this. If somebody here sitting in this place does not know English, so all that I'm speaking is not known to him. He can't understand it. So before starting, probably I should have made an announcement that this class is going to be in English, and anybody who does not understand English, you might have to contact somebody to translate the class for you. So this is a precondition for certain people, that if you don't know English, this class is unintelligible for you. You won't be able to understand it. There are certain conditions that are required for you to get this knowledge. Yes, you are sincere, you have a desire to know about Krishna, and you have come here today. But there is one condition, because of the inherent nature of the speaker, that he is speaking in English, that's how it goes here. So you have to know English to understand what is being spoken. Similarly, Krishna, he titles this chapter, or the title of this chapter is Knowledge of the Absolute. So he's giving you knowledge. But then one condition is, if you are foolish, if you are unintelligent, if you are not on that language, if you don't know the same language as he's speaking in, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya, you won't be able to understand Krishna. So one aspect of knowing Krishna is also the conditions under which you can't know him. He's being very fair. He does not hide anything from you. Not that he calls you, okay, come here, I'll tell you who I am. And then, you know, he just speaks about himself. No, he's telling you, he's so concerned. He wants you, he wants us, he wants all of us to know him. That's why he's saying, see, my dear friend, I am not manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. This is another way of saying that you please become intelligent. You please rise above your ignorance and then you can know me. He's inspiring you. Krishna is being very personal here. And then he's giving information, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya. How is he covered? Yoga Maya Samavrita. He's saying, I'm covered because of the Yoga Maya. Now this Maya word is very familiar. Certainly, even if not many of us know Sanskrit, this Maya word we know. Maya basically means illusion. In Sanskrit, Ma means no. Like in the 18th chapter, Krishna says, Ma shuchah, sarva dharman parityajya, ma mekam sharanam braja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo, moksha ishyami, ma shuchah. Ma shuchah means do not fear. So ma means do not, or not, like that, negation. And ya means this. So ma ya means not this. So it appears that certain things are certain things to me. I see certain people in a certain way. I see this world around me in a certain way. And that is my perspective. But Maya basically means, literally it means not this. What is appearing to your eyes is not the truth. It is illusory. It is illusion. Now the scriptures tell us, and this is important for our discussion today, because he clearly mentions here, Yoga Maya Samavrita. So the scriptures mention that there are two types of illusions. There can be more than that, but then you can group them into these two categories, broad categories. What is that? One is this Yoga Maya, and one is Mahamaya. These are the two understandings that the scriptures and the acharyas have given us. What is Mahamaya? Mahamaya means that illusory potency of the Lord, that illusion that is created by the Lord, that takes us away from the Lord. Just like, even during Krishna's physical presence on this planet, 5,000 years back when he was present, there were many people who did not like him. There were many people who were not on good terms with him because of several reasons. Most of them were sent on a mission by Kamsa to kill Krishna. So there was Aghasur, there was Putana, there was Trinavarta. These are people with negative intentions or negative capacities, and they were especially sent by Kamsa to kill Krishna. So these people, you know, they had no love for Krishna. But then we say Krishna is all attractive. Krishna is sarva akarshayati iti Krishna. So basically for us, you know, when we say this and this person is attractive to me, roughly what we are saying is that person is attractive to me in a positive way. Is it not? I won't say, oh, this person is attractive to me in, you know, I like to hate this person. Generally we don't use that. So sometimes a doubt could come in our mind. We say Krishna is all attractive. Everyone is attracted to Krishna. So how come he had so many demons attacking him? So this is also important to understand that even when it comes to hating somebody, Krishna is the most attractive person. If you see Ram Leela, Lord Ramchandra's Leela, how many demons attacked? There was Kabanda, there were some other demons. Narasimha Dev, there was one, Hiranyakashipu. Any other incarnation you take, yes, there were some negative forces, negative people with whom that particular person had to contend with. But as for Krishna, if you read Krishna book, if you read Krishna's pastimes, almost every day demons were coming. It means even when it comes to hating somebody, you know, Krishna is the most all attractive person. So even when demons want to hate somebody, then Krishna stands out. He is the most attractive even in terms of hatred. In fact, it is mentioned, some acharyas mentioned, that every day a demon would come and that would increase his appetite. Sometimes we don't work much. We are just sitting all day, maybe on a holiday, and then we don't feel much hunger. There's not much appetite. But if there is some work to do, if you are doing some physical exercises, then you feel some appetite. So every day, you know, all these demons would come and that would be the physical exercise for Krishna. You know, some running around, some beating him, some throwing him, whirling in the air, and eventually killing him. And this would increase his appetite for prasad. That's how Krishna is. So here in this verse, Yoga Maya is mentioned, and Mahamaya, the other form of Maya, is that which takes you away from the Lord. You had Shishupal. Now people like Aghasur, Trinavarta, Putana, they were certainly not of the same family as Krishna. They were sent, as I said, on a special mission by Kamsa. Shishupal was his maternal cousin. He was one of his cousins. But right from the first word that Shishupal uttered to the last word that he uttered before dying, before being killed by Krishna, it was just blasphemy of Krishna. He just could not stand Krishna. So it is not, it has nothing to do with even the family of a particular person. So you have this person who is belonging to the same family. But he had so much hated Krishna. You had one person, when Krishna and Balaram were called to Mathura by Kamsa in order to kill him, on the way they met a washerman. And he was the king's washerman, he was Kamsa's washerman, so he had a bunch of clothes that originally belonged to the king, Kamsa. And Krishna and Balaram, they just came from Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a small village. Even today, it's a small village. So when they come to Mathura, Mathura is a big city. Sometimes I have some, you know, contact with college students. So I see that if they are coming from a place outside Bombay, when they come to the city, you know, they are dressed simply. On the first time, first day when they come to the city, if they take admission in some college in the city and they come, so they are dressed very simply. But then they see people here are dressed very nicely, people are dressed in nice clothes. So then eventually after some time they also get all those clothes, you know, different fashions of the city. So Krishna also, he came from Vrindavan and he saw these beautiful clothes belonging to the king. So he said, you know, can we have some of these clothes? Not all, just a few of these clothes. And that washerman, somehow out of his hatred, he spoke very insultingly. He could have just said, no, these clothes are not meant for you. These clothes are meant for the king. How can I give them to you? He said, you forest dwellers, you seem to be coming from the forest. Actually, it is mentioned Giri, Vana, something. So you are dwellers of the mountains and you are dwellers of the forest. He called Krishna and Balaram as tribals. In other words, he says, I won't give you these words. How dare? And to add, he said, if you don't go away, the king's men will come and they'll kill you. Like that. So you had people from all walks of life. You had asuras on one side, born in that frame of mind. You had people in his own family who used to blaspheme him. You had people like washermen, common masses. So there have always been people who hate Krishna. So today, when we go to somebody and we say, you know, please take a Bhagavad Gita, please take this book, please come to the temple, please take prasad. And if somebody insults us, if somebody is rough with us, we should not be alarmed. We should not be surprised. This is also coming in parampara. That people have always had hatred. Even though he is the most attractive person, still there are always people like that. So anyways, the point was that there are always some people who will be having or harboring a desire not to serve the Lord. In fact, what to not serve the Lord, but in fact to hate him, to try to kill him, to try to harm him. So this also happens because of illusion. If you know that this person is the Lord, this person is my eternal master, that this person is my eternal well-wisher, the food that I am eating is possible because of him. The rains that I am getting is possible because of him. The sunlight because of which the crops are growing, because of which the entire biological cycle of this planet is going, is also because of him. How would you hate such a person? We have our friends in our lives. How much can they help us? In a limited way. Of course, they try to help us in whatever way they can, but their own capacities are limited. So here is one person who has unlimited capacity to help you. And somebody may have a capacity to help you, but is his intention to help you? You might have a very powerful person, but then he may not have any desire to help you. Sometimes you may have a person who desires to help you, but he does not have the capacity to help you. Here is one person who has unlimited capacity to help you, and he has unlimited desire to help you. Such a wonderful combination. And such a person, if you are hating, it surely means we do not understand the facts as they are. We don't understand who Krishna is. So this is caused because of illusion. This is called the Mahamaya energy of the Lord, the Mahamaya potency of the Lord. The other potency that is mentioned is Yoga Maya. Now one definition or one explanation of Maya that I spoke just now was not this, illusion. Now in our common language, Maya also sometimes means love. Is it not? We say, sometimes in Hindi television serials or movies, they say, some mother says, this is my Maya for you. Ye meri Maya hai, like that. This is my love for you. She says that to her child. So Maya, one meaning of Maya is illusion. And another meaning of Maya is love. So that is another type of illusion by which, like I mentioned, Mahamaya is that illusion that takes you away from Krishna. And Yoga Maya is that illusion that takes you near Krishna. You have devotees like Nanda Maharaj. You have devotees like Yashoda Mai. You have devotees like Sridham. There are many other friends that he has. They also consider Krishna an ordinary person. They think he's one of us. Born and brought up in this small village called Vrindavan. Sometimes while playing, they climb on his back. Which is unthinkable for a person who actually knows that he is the Supreme Lord. But their illusion does not cause them to hate Krishna or try to harm him. Their illusion is such that it increases the intimacy between themselves and Krishna. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. So on one side you have one illusory potency, one illusion which takes you away from Krishna. And on the other side you have the Yogamaya potency, the other type of illusion which takes you near Krishna. One time somebody came, one Gopa, he came to Yashoda Mai and said, Maya, Maya, your child Krishna, he has swallowed some dirt. Now if Yashoda Mai would have known that he is the Supreme Lord, she would have said, oh anyway, he is the Supreme Lord, he'll take care of himself. There is no contamination for him. the small dirt that he has eaten is not going to cause any problems for him. But she didn't say that. She got concerned. She ran to that place. She asked Krishna to open his mouth. But then, when Krishna opened his mouth, what did he see? That is where the difference is. Many mothers will do this for Krishna, for their own children. But what is the difference with regards to Krishna? When Yashoda Mai looked into the mouth, open mouth of Krishna, she saw the whole universe there. She saw the whole creation there. Not only that, the fun did not stop there. She saw the whole creation. Within that creation, she saw the earth planet. Within that earth planet, she saw Vrindavan. Within Vrindavan, she saw herself looking into Krishna's mouth. So that's how Krishna is inconceivable. That she is looking into Krishna and she looks at herself looking into Krishna. Sometimes, you know, there's a room full of mirrors on all sides. You look into the mirror, and in the mirror, you look into another mirror. It goes on to a regression, infinite regression. You see mirrors in mirrors and mirrors like that. An infinite room is apparently illusorily created. Something like that. She is looking inside the mouth of Krishna, and inside she sees herself looking into the mouth of Krishna. She got bewildered. Then she understood. Although he appears to be an ordinary child, when there is thunder, when there is lightning, just like recently, you know, we have this monsoon season going on, sometimes there is thunder. So when Krishna, he hears thunder, he immediately runs to the shelter of Yashoda Mai. He hides his face in the sari of Yashoda Mai. So please protect me from this thunder. So sometimes he appears to be an ordinary person who is running away from thunder. Just a small thing actually. But he wants protection. And sometimes, you know, Yashoda Mai looks into the mouth of Krishna and she sees the whole universe. But then the illusory potency again acts and she forgets that. Because if she understands that he is Krishna, if she understands that he is the Supreme Lord, how will the loving dealings happen? How will she get concerned about him that he is getting late for lunch? That he is spending too much time playing with his friends? She gets concerned. Oh, where is Krishna? He has not come back. If he does not eat properly, he'll fall ill. He'll get weak. So you have one illusory potency which causes you to hate Krishna, which causes you to think of, you know, his harm or doing something wrong to him. And other side, you have the illusory potency which causes you to love him more and more. Both ways, Krishna is putting you into illusion. Why? Why is there a necessity to put you into illusion? If you know the truth, how will you reciprocate with him? He wants reciprocation. He wants loving dealings with us. Suppose the police commissioner of this city walks in here. You don't feel to love him. You will get up from your seat. You will offer respect to him. Maybe we will stand up. Something like that. But how many of us will go and embrace him? You can't have that feelings for him. For a person in authority, for a person who's, you know, having some power, you don't feel love towards him. You can feel respect, you can feel awe for that person. But Krishna is that person who wants loving dealings from his devotees. And therefore, through these two illusory potencies, Mahamaya and Yogamaya, he covers our knowledge and makes sure that his idea of loving dealings happens, that his wish is fulfilled. He says prakashah. He says naham prakasha. So this is also an interesting word. He says, I'm not put into light. To see somebody you need light, right now, is it not? If I switch off the lights of this room right now, will I be able to see you? No. On the altar here, the altar is very brightly lit. If you can see, when the altar was open, or you have Prabhupada there sitting, you have lamps very nicely strategically placed so that you see his whole body properly. If those lamps are not working, you see Prabhupada, you see his profile, you see his outline, but you don't see his facial features. Similarly, when there is no light on the altar, you can make out it is Radha Krishna, but you don't see his, you know, different features, how he is standing, how broad or how long is his smile, how are his eyes, what are the different things that he is decorating his turban with, what color is his bangles, all those minute intricacies you won't be able to see. So, prakasha, naham prakasha. Now, interestingly, just 2 days back, there was an important event. Some natural event. Can anybody tell me what it was? This day before yesterday. Solar eclipse. Is it not? So I was just thinking about this to understand this concept. Naham prakasha sarvasya. Somehow, you know, we had this solar eclipse recently. What happened during this solar eclipse? What happened? Can somebody, can you tell me? Due to some reasons, due to some natural arrangement, the sun, the object sun, is covered. Is it not? And there is less light. Some parts of Asia were completely in darkness for that period. And some parts had partial darkness, partial light. So due to some reason, the sun was covered. Here also Krishna is saying, Naham prakasha sarvasya. That my prakash, my revelation is not for everyone. So it is similar to that. In order to help us understand, we could take this analogy. Just like during an eclipse, due to some reasons, the sun is covered. The sun is so powerful. On other days, the sun is so powerful. It gives you light, it gives you heat. So many natural things are happening because of the sun. But once in a while, due to some natural arrangement, the sun also gets covered. Is it not? Now here, Krishna is saying, Naham prakasha sarvasya. So he is deciding, Na aham, he says. It's not that artificially somebody is covering Krishna. He says, Na aham prakasha sarvasya. He says, I do not reveal myself or I cover myself to certain people. Another way in which we could understand the sun getting covered is, on a cloudy day, sometimes, especially nowadays in this season, you have clouds covering the sun. Now, is the sun not there up? You can understand, sun is there. Why? There is light. However, you cannot directly see the form of the sun. You cannot directly see the globe, the round object called sun. Yet, light means there is sun, but you can't see it. Why? There are some clouds. So this Mahamaya or this Yogamaya can be compared to the cloud that is blocking our direct perception of the sun. You can see, you can understand that the sun exists, but not directly. Similarly, you know the person Krishna, but not completely. You don't know him as he is. You know him as a beautiful person, you know him as a politician, you know him as a cowherd boy, but not completely. Why? Because he is covering himself a little bit. As I explained, for having certain dealings with his devotees. Now, to take this analogy further and to understand this concept further, because I mentioned that na aham, that it is Krishna who covers himself. Because we took the analogy of the cloud and the sun. How is a cloud formed? How is a cloud formed? There are huge bodies of water in the form of oceans, seas, lakes, rivers. And because of the intense sunlight, water evaporates. And there are already dust particles in the air, and these water vapor particles, they sit on those dust particles, and a compact mass is formed, which is called a cloud. Is it not? It's not a solid body. So these clouds are formed because of the sun. Because of sunlight that emanates from the sun, the cloud is formed. And that same cloud, when it comes in between us and Krishna, it blocks the vision of the sun. We can't see the sun because of the cloud. But how is this cloud formed? Because of the sun. So similarly, there is a Yogamaya potency and there is a Mahamaya potency which blocks our complete vision or understanding of the Supreme Lord. But does it mean that this Yogamaya potency and this Mahamaya potency is superior to the Lord? That it is capable of blocking our vision of the Lord? No. Just like the cloud is formed because of the sun, similarly this Mahamaya potency and the Yogamaya potency is created by the Lord himself. It is not superior to the Lord. It is subservient to the Lord. Now, if it is not superior to the Lord, if it is inferior to the Lord, then how does it block our vision? You get my point? I'm here sitting with you. I'm looking at you all sitting here in front of me. Now some person comes here with a big screen and he puts that screen in between you and me. Now if he's inferior to me, in the sense he's less strong, Let's talk of physical strength. So if he's less strong, I'll immediately tell him, come on, remove this screen here. Don't you see I'm having a class here and I need to look at the audience. So he'll listen to me and he'll take that screen away. Let's say he's like a big, huge person and seeing his size, I can't say much. So then I have to just tolerate the situation. So that superior person has overpowered me. Is it not? Yes, blocked. So in this case, in our example that we are talking, Yog Maya and Mahamaya, they are blocking our vision of the Lord. So somebody could say, how could Yog Maya and Mahamaya block our perception of the Lord if it is inferior to the Lord? Does not make sense. So to understand that, we have to understand, let's say, we on earth planet are some point, and the sun is at some distance from us. Let's say this distance between us is some 10 units. And 1 unit is some, 1 lakh miles or something like that. We are not talking of actual distances. This is just an example to understand. So we are here, the sun is here at some distance. And you divide this distance between sun and us into 10 parts. Alright? Now can somebody tell me at how much distance or how long away from us is the cloud which is blocking our vision of the sun? Can somebody tell me? Roughly, I don't want an exact figure. Tell me. Okay. Here one devotee is saying that if you consider the distance between us and the sun in this analogy, the cloud is very near to us. Is it not? Cloud is very near to our side. It's not near the sun. So, it is because of the proximity of the cloud to us that it is capable of blocking our vision of the sun. If that same cloud, same size of the cloud, would have been farther away from us, would it have been able to block our vision of the sun? No. In fact, the more the cloud is towards the sun, the more the sun will be revealed. And if it is more nearer to us, more it will block our vision. Is it not? Tomorrow, let's say, I'm looking at the sun and I have this small lid with me. If I hold this lid this far from my eyes and I'm looking at the sun, I can see some part of the sun. Now, to the extent I bring this lid nearer to my eyes, I can't see much. As I take it far away, I can see. As I bring it nearer, I can't see. So, you, my audience here, you are at a fixed distance from me. But depending on the proximity of this lid to my eyes, I can see you or I cannot see you. Similarly, the sun is always there. But the proximity of the cloud blocks our vision. Does not mean the cloud is superior to the sun. It is we who are in such a position that the cloud is nearer to us. And that's why it is capable of blocking our vision to the sun. The sun has not blocked our vision. It is we who have come at such a point that we are under the cloud and because of that we can't perceive the sun. It is our position that is preventing us from seeing the sun. Let's say there is fog, intense fog. Sometimes you go to some hill station and there is mist there. Now as soon as the sun rises, within a 10-15 minutes, as the sun gets stronger, you can see that the fog disappears. The mist disappears. Even talking of these clouds, there are a lot of clouds now. Sometimes, during the start of the rainy season or towards the end of the rainy season is in its weak stage. It's not very strong. Like right now we are in the thick of the rainy season. It's really, many days are passing by without actually seeing the sun. But days will come when you will see the sun and, there are some few clouds in the sky. Now, if even in those times the sun is really bright, the sun is really strong, then even those clouds are dispersed. Those clouds, the water vapor in those clouds is evaporated. Is it not? Similarly, if the sun is capable of destroying or dispersing the cloud or destroying the capacity of the cloud to block our vision of the sun, the Lord also, being the creator of the Yog Maya potency and the Mahamaya potency, can take it away. So today, in our situation right now, the Yog Maya potency or Mahamaya potency, depending on what is our condition, for most of us it is Mahamaya potency. There could be some fortunate soul here who has a lot of love for Krishna and he may be controlled by the yoga maya potency. So whichever way, if Krishna wants, he can take away that illusion. It is up to him. Just like the sun, if it becomes a little bit powerful, he can remove the mist. He can remove the fog. The fog does not have any capacity to stand and to block your vision if the sun is strong. Similarly, the Lord, if he wants, on his own, he can remove that illusion. And you can understand Krishna as he is and as he wants you to know him fully. This chapter, the first verse is, how does it start? Starts with Tashrunu. This is a very important verse. It says, Maya Sakta Mana Partha Yogam Yunjan Madashraya Asamshayam Samagram Mam Yatha Gyasasi Tashrunu. So Krishna in the first verse of this chapter has said, that's why this chapter is called Knowledge of the Absolute, that please know about me. So he's saying, Maya Sakta Mana Partha Yogam Yunjan Madashraya Asamshayam Samagram Mam. Asamshaya means without any doubt, and Samagram means in full. Yatha gyasasi tat shrunu. Please listen from me, Arjun. How can you know me in full without any doubt? So that is how this knowledge or this chapter, the knowledge in this chapter has started. And that is why we have come to this point where Krishna explains that for the foolish and the unintelligent, I am covered by my potency, by my illusory potency. So one is illusory potency which takes us away from Krishna, and one is illusory potency that is takes you near to Krishna. And one we could say as maya, not this, illusion. And another meaning of maya, as we discussed, is love. So that is the yoga maya potency. Now, another place where a similar understanding is mentioned is in the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto. This knowledge that we have here in the Bhagavad Gita is presented by the Lord himself. It is about himself. He himself is speaking. Sometimes you could have devotees of the Lord who are very intimate, and they can also give you some details about the person. Sometimes you could be on a journey somewhere. Let's say, you are going to your hometown. Let's say somebody of you is going to Delhi, and you meet an interesting person on the way. The person who's sitting next to you in the train, and you start talking with him, and you understand that he's a very nice person. Maybe he has the same business as you. And as the discussion goes on further, as the conversation goes on further, he may give you his visiting card. So that visiting card will say such and such person, such and such is my office address, this is where I stay. Not many details on the visiting card, is it not? He'll not tell you how much wealth he has, or how many kids he has. Probably that information is only for a few select friendly people that he knows. For a stranger that he meets in the train, he just gives limited information. But suppose that person is accompanied by his secretary. The secretary knows everything about him. So when he's not there, suppose you call up his secretary and say, that time we had a nice time together. So can you tell me something more about this person? That secretary might tell you a lot of information about that person. Is it not? The person himself may not reveal much. Maybe because of humility, maybe because of keeping confidentiality, due to whatever reason. But the usual tendency is when you talk about yourself to somebody, you don't speak much. But somebody wants to know you, he can ask your friend. What is he like? What is his favorite color? What is his favorite day? Which temple does he visit often? You can get all kinds of information from a friend. So similarly, Krishna, when he speaks about himself, sometimes he may not speak much. He does not like to brag so much about himself. But when his devotees speak about him, when his devotees describe him, you can get much more information. So Kunti Devi, in the first canto of Bhagavatam, she describes Krishna in very nice words. And one of the verses that she mentions is similar to the concept that is mentioned here. She says, Maya javanika achannam agya adhokshajam avyayam na lakshase mudha drisha nato natya dharo yatha. She says, Maya javanika achannam. Javanika is a curtain. So he says, she's saying, there is a curtain of Maya in between. And agya adhokshajam avyayam. The foolish agya cannot understand Krishna, who is adhokshajam and avyayam. Adhokshajam means he's beyond the senses. Your eyes cannot see him because he's spiritual and your eyes are material. Your ears cannot hear him. Your body cannot touch him. He's beyond the reach of your senses. And avyayam is inexhaustible. And she says, na lakshase moodha drisha. She says, na lakshase. You can't see him if you are moodha drisha. Moodha is a foolish person. Just like Krishna here, he said, moodhoyam nabhi janati. In this verse that we have written here on the board, you can see, moodhoyam nabhi janati. So moodha is foolish person. So Kunti Devi is also saying, na lakshase moodha drisha. How an unintelligent person cannot see? She gives another analogy. Krishna here has said Prakasha, and because of which we studied the analogy of the cloud and the sun. Kunti Devi gives another analogy. She says, just like if you have an expert dramatist, an expert actor, and he's acting in a drama. So the makeup is so nice. The acting is so nice. The participation of the actor in that mood, of that character is so nice, that you don't recognize him. Sometimes you may have your own friends, you know, staging a small drama, and you know he is playing this part and he is playing that part, and you go to that drama and you see they are all your friends, they are all people known to you. But then if the makeup is very nice and if the setting and all, you know, is very nice, it's very made in a very expert way, sometimes it happens that you don't detect your own friends. Sometimes you don't detect your own people whom you know very nicely. Why is that? Because the person is speaking differently, maybe. His voice has changed, maybe. His makeup has changed. He looks different now. So, nato natya dharo yatha. She is saying, because Krishna, he is the Supreme Lord. But when he comes to this planet for his pastimes, he plays the part of an ordinary human being. He has his mother, he has his father. He is ajam, he is without any birth, material birth. But here he has his mother and father. Of course, his appearance is not like an ordinary appearance. He directly manifests himself. He has earrings, he has hair, he looks beautiful. Generally, when a child is born, he does not look very beautiful. He is covered by some kind of a fluid. He cries. Krishna never cried when he appeared in front of Devaki and Vasudev. So yes, there are some differences by which you can understand he is special. But you know, he also was born like a small child, appeared like a small child. Then he grew up slowly to his youth age. So sometimes it may appear. He has wives in Dwarka. He has sons, daughters. When Narad Muni visited Dwarka, in some palaces he found Krishna playing some games with his wives. Some palaces he went, he was arranging marriages of his sons and daughters. So apparently ordinary activities. That is how nato natya dharo yatha. Just like an expert actor takes on different roles. And the more expert the actor is, the more you can't recognize him. Is it not? Sometimes the actor may not be a very expert actor, and then you can immediately know him. Although he's dressed up differently. Oh, he's our person. You can immediately recognize him. But the more he is expert, the more you can't. What to speak of here? Here we have the Supreme Lord. He's the best in everything. He's the supreme most in everything. He's the source of all beauty. He's the supreme most beautiful. He's the source of all intelligence. So he's the supreme most intelligent. So when it comes to playing the part of an ordinary human being, he plays it the best. You really can't make out whether he is the Supreme Lord or what. The first verse of Bhagavatam, it mentions, Muhyanti yat suraya. So somebody could say, oh, these asuras, they have hatred for Krishna. They don't love Krishna. So that's why they can't recognize him. But Krishna, or this verse in the Bhagavatam, it mentions, Muhyanti yat suraya. Even the demigods, they get bewildered. Indra, when he saw that the Vrajvasis, they are not worshipping him, and instead they are listening to the word of a small child, he could not see, he could not understand who is Krishna. He's a demigod, a very intelligent, very cultured person. He's supposed to know who is the Supreme Lord. And he knows. But in that form, as an ordinary cowherd boy staying in a small village called Vrindavan, Indra could not recognize. He began to oppress Vrajvasis. And of course, he was taught a nice, good lesson. His whole pride was shattered. Brahmaji, with his four heads, he got bewildered. He tried to steal the cowherd boy's friends and calves belonging to Krishna. So even intelligent people, they get bewildered. That is the expertise with which Krishna plays a part. And in the third chapter, he mentions this. He says, I don't remember the exact verse. He says, Trishu Lokeshu Kinchana. He says, in all the three planetary systems, in all the three worlds, there is no duty for me. I'm the Supreme Lord. There is nothing that is dutiful that I'm supposed to do yet. To set an example, I carry out the duties of a usual human being. And then he mentions, why does he do that? He says, because if I don't take care of my duties properly, then ordinary people will follow my example. They'll neglect their duties and they'll say, see, Krishna, he did that, na? He's a Supreme Lord, he did that. So then we also can do that. We also get a license to do that. So he mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that is why he plays the part of a seemingly ordinary human being. Of course, there are lot of pastimes and there are lot of incidents in which Krishna displays his full magnificence. You can immediately understand. He is not at all the person that I was thinking he is. But usually, not many people are able to recognize him. When he went to the court of Duryodhan to settle for peace, Duryodhan said, catch him, capture him. Krishna's sword is universal form. But then Shakuni was there, he said, oh, he's just a magician. Just like magician can do some tricks, Krishna also is doing some tricks. So people also get bewildered like that. So nato natya dharo yatha. Then somebody would say, due to what does this happen? Because of what can we not perceive an expert dramatist? So one reason is ignorance. You don't know who is actually. You don't have much knowledge about that person. And because you are seeing that actor for the first time, you don't have proper knowledge about him. So you can't recognize him. The second reason is very important. Because if you are ignorant, if you don't know certain things, you can read books. And you can destroy that ignorance. Knowledge can remove that ignorance. So you have books in the form of Bhagavad Gita. You have books in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And many other books are there, which can help you know more and more about Krishna, and your ignorance will be destroyed. But the other reason that is given is obstinacy. Obstinacy means persistence. I am what I am. I am not going to change my position. One very fitting example to this is Duryodhan. At one point in Mahabharata, it is mentioned that somebody asked him, why do you behave the way you behave? You are seeing Pandavas, they are so righteous. They are so nice people. They never harm you. You try to poison them, you try to kill them, you try to burn them. You have stolen all their property from them. There's so much humiliation that you are doing to them. And look at them. They are not getting disturbed. They are getting troubled. They are undergoing difficulties, but they are not getting disturbed. In one sense, you are not affecting them. They are as they are. They are unmoved. So why do you do this? Don't you realize that you should not be doing this? So at one point in Mahabharata, he mentions, Janami aham dharma nachamam pravrutti and Janami aham adharma nachamam nivrutti. He says, I know what is dharma. I know what is right and I know what is wrong. Janami aham dharma nachamam pravrutti. I know what is right, but I don't feel like doing it. And Janami aham adharma nachamam nivrutti. I know what is wrong. I know what is not to be done. But I can't give it up. There is no nivrutti from there. So Duryodhan is not some foolish person who does not know what he is doing and how wrong it is. He knows exactly. But he is attached. He wants to be the king. He wants to see the Pandavas getting pain in their lives. And that's why he purposefully, with his full intent, acts in that way. Karna also, very famous character. Many people have a lot of soft corner for him. But there's a point in Mahabharata where he was offered that you come this side. He says, no. Here is my friend and he may be right, he may be wrong. But I have to stay with him. So that is his willful decision. That is a decision that these people are taking by themselves. That is their obstinacy. They are saying, I know what is right, I know what is wrong. But I want to be the way I am. So in these two conditions, one is ignorance and one is obstinacy, you won't be able to know Krishna. He'll hide himself from you. So what do we have to do then? One thing is, if we get knowledge, then knowledge destroys ignorance. So our ignorance will go away, and if ignorance goes away, then we can know Krishna more. He will reveal himself more and more. And obstinacy will go only when we associate with devotees. If we associate with devotees, there will be some service given to us. Service will be, you can't do a service. You can't serve somebody thinking yourself as his master. If you are serving somebody, obviously you have to consider yourself to be in a lower position than the person whom you are serving. Is it not? The master never serves the servant. The servant serves the master. So if you are in the association of devotees and you get some service, obviously your mood has to be that of a servant. So then where is the question of obstinacy? You'll get some service. Do this, this, this. And then you can't say no. If you say no, that is not service. Because you are putting your own conditions. So you are given this service. You don't like to do that service. Still you do it because you have been given that service. Because devotees want you to do that service. So your obstinacy is dissolved in the desire to carry out the orders of the devotees around you. So obstinacy goes away. So if obstinacy goes away, then Krishna sees that he wants to know me. And that's why he is willing to change his position. That's why he is willing to change his behavior. That's why he is willing to change his feelings or emotions. He is slowly trying to understand me. And then Krishna will reveal himself. Then the bright sun will dissolve the mist. Then the bright sun will disperse the clouds. Then, just like on a normal day when there is no solar eclipse, you will be able to see the sun very brightly shining in its full glory. That is when Krishna will decide to reveal himself. So I'll stop here. If there are any questions, if there are any comments, feel free to ask. So here we have one question. Mic is coming.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Prabhuji, you mentioned that yog maya, this illusion brings person closer to Krishna. But here it's as per my understanding that a foolish person, he is not able to approach Krishna because Krishna is covered by yog maya. So there is contradiction because...
In this verse, directly Krishna uses the word yog maya. And the acharyas have explained this, Baldev Vidyabhushan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they mention that here yog maya includes both the concepts of maya. There are two conceptions of maya like I explained, Mahamaya and yog maya. So apparently it does not make sense because, yog maya is for devotees. That much at least we know, is it not? So keeping this verse aside, at least we know that yog maya is for devotees. But here he says, Mudhoyam nabhi janate. Foolish people don't know me. So obviously this person is not a devotee. So then yog maya is to be understood in this context, as is explained by our acharyas, that here yog maya indicates both the conceptions of maya. And so yog maya applies to devotees and then mahamaya applies to non-devotees, like that. All right, there are no more questions or comments. Thank you very much for your patient hearing. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jaya. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jaya.